We're continuing in Avat Chesed. The Chafetz Chaim had said that on the one end, when we do a mitzvah, so then, regardless of our intent, it is a meritorious act, and it has its impact. On the other hand, the more refined one's intent, the greater the effect of the action, the greater the effect of the mitzvah. Uchva mevav bazar kadosh, and in the Holy Zohar it's already explained, godel torut kedusha b'chol olamot, how great is the arousal of holiness in all the different worlds, shenaset ha'idei asiyat ha'mitzvah b'shlemut, that is accomplished when one does a mitzvah in its complete form. Al ken matov l'adam sh'yagil atzmo sh'be'et oseh eze davar sh'yesh l'shosh b'torah, therefore it is so befitting, it's so good that a person gets into the habit that when he's doing something that's rooted in the Torah, kigon mitzvat alva'a, for example, your friend needs a loan. You're standing by the kiosk and your friend says, gee, I left my wallet there. Can I borrow 5 shekel from you? I'll give it to you. I'll pay it back when we get back to the machon. You give him the 5 shekel. Now, if you think for a minute, I'm doing the biblical mitzvah of giving a loan right now. The fact that he's going to give it back to me in 5 minutes is irrelevant. I'm doing a biblical mitzvah right now. The Torah says, im kesef talveh, o shetomech yidei ani b'mash noten lo melacha listaker, or if you hire someone, you're giving him work because he's poor, you want to give him a job, and you have in mind, shem kayem b'zeh mitzvah, devechi yamuch achicha umat yado imach vechezakta bo. There's a biblical mitzvah. When your brother is falling, give him a hand, strengthen him so he doesn't collapse. Oshem shalem pulat zachir bizmano. I had hired work today, so I paid him on time. So I made a point of saying, you know, I'm being mekayim the mitzvah of paying a worker on time. If you have that in mind, so you've refined it, now you're doing a mitzvah on a higher level. That, to me, by the way, was one of the great benefits of the work we used to learn on Friday, the work that summarized the 613 mitzvot. He would always discuss, have in mind, you're doing this mitzvah when you're doing it. We used to have 5 minutes on Taryag mitzvot on Fridays, and that work, I don't remember who the author is, he would repeatedly point that out. How many times do we wash our hands in the morning? And we make a blessing on it. But how many times do we stop and think, I'm fulfilling a rabbinic institution to wash my hands in the morning? You wash your hands before davening. You stand up to daven Shmon Esrei 3 times a day. You bench. How many times do you stop and think, I'm doing a biblical mitzvah now? It says, v'chalta v'sevata uverachta. And if we do stop and think, so then the mitzvah is that much greater.
Rabbi?
Yeah?
Is it that much greater? If our only real kavana in doing the mitzvah is that, okay, we're doing this because it is a mitzvah, but I really don't, you know, have any connection to what I'm saying if I'm benching right now. Is it really that much greater? How can it be that much greater if you don't have the initial kavana to begin with?
So you're saying there are times that doesn't compensate for missing the main point. Okay, no one's saying it compensates. We're just saying that it still elevates the mitzvah. It doesn't compensate for the essence of the mitzvah. You're saying your mother asks you to take out the garbage. So if you have in mind, I'm doing the biblical mitzvah, of listening to my parents, of kabide savicha v'simecha, kabide savicha v'simecha. So then your mitzvah is greater. Now what happens if when I take out the garbage I have a sour look on my face and I say, shucks ma, you always ask me, why don't you ask one of the brothers? But then I take it out. So right, the fact that you had kavana, I'm going to take it out. Okay ma, I'll do you a favor, you know, keep it aveim, no problem. Okay, so yeah, that's not going to compensate for the fact that you destroyed the mitzvah by throwing in all those other lines. That's true. The kavana doesn't compensate for things that are wrong, but it still elevates what's right.
No, but I mean, you're benching, or say you're not benching, washing your hands in the morning. You don't have the kavana that, all right, I'm getting rid of the impurities that are on my hands from when I
You don't need that kavana. You're fulfilling a rabbinic institution. The fact that they revealed to you what they were, their intent was, that has nothing to do with what your intent should be when you're doing it.
So your intent should just strictly be...
I'm fulfilling the rabbinic institution, right. I'm lighting Hanukkah candles. So there, maybe you should have some kind of kavanah for Pursume Nisa. Because in the Haneros Halalu, it seems to say there's much more to it than just lighting the candles. But technically, I have in mind I'm doing a rabbinic mitzvah. I'm saying Halel on Rosh Chodesh. I'm doing a rabbinic mitzvah. I'm going to fast on Asar Batavis. I'm doing a rabbinic mitzvah. So if I have that in mind, it's just that much greater. And it's not only what he's saying. He's discussing from a spiritual, Kabbalistic perspective. I find that when you do that, you end up being much more connected to the Torah. You suddenly see how you're fulfilling the Torah. Usually we only notice what we do wrong, and we tend to forget what we do right. Before I do Kiddush, very often I'll ask the people present, what are we about to do? How many times do people stop and think, I'm doing one of the Ten Commandments right now? Zachot Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho. I'm doing that. Now, if I have in mind, before I do Kiddush, that's what I'm doing, so then I have that much of a greater mitzvah. And it snowballs, meaning, if you invite a guest, and you invite a guest because you like having guests, so you did the mitzvah of Achnasas Arachim, very nice. But if you tell yourself, and you remind yourself and your wife, we're doing a biblical mitzvah here, and this is an important mitzvah here. And then the guest walks in and destroys your Shabbos meal. So, if you did it thinking I like having guests, well, you're going to walk away from the meal saying I don't like having guests. And if you did it and you thought I have a big mitzvah here to do, so then afterwards you say, okay, I did an even bigger mitzvah. I put up with a guest like that. Now, I sat down with a group of soldiers who were about to enlist a few weeks ago, and I said, before we begin, I have one question. Why are you all going to the army? Silence. So I was devastated by that. I said, if you don't know why you're going to the army, so what kind of soldier are you going to be? If you don't believe in the cause, what's going to be when you have to put up with all the hardships? And what's going to be when you have ethical questions and moral questions? How are you going to put up with them if you don't have an answer to that question? So they all said, of course we know why we're going to the army. No, that was obvious. It's not obvious. You have to really define for yourself why you're doing things. And if you do, then it will be reflected in your reaction later on when things don't work out the way you expected. So I'm adding another point the Chafetz Chaim didn't mention here. Coming back to the Chafetz Chaim, he's saying your impact in the world is going to be that much greater because you're doing it with the right intent. You have many examples like this, things that we encounter frequently, which are really amazing things. We just don't stop to think about it. We're fulfilling a biblical mitzvah when we do this. And today I reviewed halacha and hilchos sukkah. It was an okay sugya I was learning. And the Shulchan Aruch over there says, we have a Gemara in Ksubos be'usha hitkinu, that they instituted in Usha, you shouldn't spend more than a fifth of your assets on charity. So we had many classes about that here in the Avat Chesed. So this concept was extrapolated to other mitzvot and the laws of buying a lulav and esrog. So it's also brought up, you shouldn't spend more than a fifth. So the Ramah right away says, he quotes a Rashba and a Ravid. He says, that's all true with regard to a proactive mitzvah. But what about a prohibition? There you should rather give up all your money rather than transgress a prohibition in the Torah. All your money? I read that, and as I was reading that, I thought to myself, wait a second. So that means next time I want to say Lashon Hara, I should rather take out all my accounts, liquidate all my bank accounts, then save that juicy piece of Lashon Hara. Why didn't I ever think of it that way? It struck me. We have biblical mitzvos we encounter daily, and we forget their biblical mitzvos. So, if the halacha says, one should rather lose all one's money, even if it costs you everything, it costs you your job, but that's what it takes in order for you not to transgress a prohibition, then that's what the halacha expects you to do. That means a guy is going to lose his job if he doesn't come to work on Shabbos. And his job is prohibited on Shabbos. So he should lose his job and not come to work on Shabbos. Aye, that means that he's going to have to go take from his savings and he doesn't know how long his savings are going to last, etc. Right? That's what it means. So when I read that, it blew me away. I learned that halacha in the past too. But when I saw it today, I suddenly applied it to something I encountered daily. What's the biblical prohibition we encounter daily? Lashon Hara, right? How often do we think about it? Yeah.
Are there exceptions when someone's financial situation is dependent on working on Shabbos?
I'm unaware of such a thing. So that, when we'll learn about prohibitions, we'll discuss that. It's a separate discussion. I'm just saying the concept the Chafetz Chaim said here, to think about the mitzvot as we encounter them, connects us with fantastic concepts on a daily basis. And we're encountering them. You put on tefillin every morning. When was the last time you thought, I'm doing a biblical mitzvah? You just said Kriya Shema at night. You did a biblical mitzvah. I wrote it in my Siddur. Have in mind, you're doing a biblical mitzvah now before the Kriya Shema. And then in the last parsha where we say, I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt, I made a star, put a note on the side, you're doing a biblical mitzvah now. Because I could read it just like you and go, you know, there, MS. Yeah, right? But did I remember what I said? What?
No, you can make a new Siddur where it's printed in.
They have that. I don't find that it helps me when it's printed. When it's in my own handwriting, that it helps. They have that now, yeah. Yes?
Should you verbally say that you have kavanah to fulfill the fast of the seventh
day? We learned a whole piece on that in the beginning of the work on Taryag Mitzvos. You could see it there. There are basically two opinions. One opinion says yes, the other opinion says no. And whenever possible, it's good to say it. If you can't say it, to think it.
But everyone agrees that if you can, you should.
No.
No?
No.